Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Vine and is presented by Williams Redlich.
I did have this idea that came from university in second year, and it was to put crickets, as in the insects, into protein bars.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. We all fail. We all make mistakes. We all have those 999 broken bulbs before we get that one that works. And here, we talk about the broken bulbs. In particular, I'm joined today by Scott Stockdale. Now, get this. Scott studied economics at university. He works in SEO. He hosts a hit podcast called Entrepreneurs Can Party. And he has a Udemy course on how to hire a virtual assistant. I mean, wow. This guy is busy doing some cool stuff. But Scott also tried to start a cricket protein bar business when he didn't even really want to. That's coming up after the break. Broken Bulbs is the newest podcast from Mecco Radio. And since we're new, we're still needing to grow. One of the biggest ways that you can help us do that is by leaving a review. It's simple, it's free, and you can do it right from your phone while you're listening to the podcast. You can go to ratethispodcast.com/bulbs or use the first link in the show notes to take you straight to Podchaser. Thanks for listening, and thanks for leaving a review. Now, onto the show. Ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Absolutely, Alex. Yes. Should we kick off with the cricket protein bars?
Yeah, let's talk about your cricket protein bars. Fill me in, like, okay, what are your cricket protein bars?
Okay, so it is as bonkers as it sounds. So when I finished my job at the prison, which is an entirely different story, I was at a loss at what to do. You know, I didn't have any plans, but I did have this idea that came from university in second year, and it was to put crickets, as in the insects, into protein bars. And I figured crickets are high in protein, lots of great nutrients as well, such as vitamins and minerals and XYZ. So I thought, you know what, let's put the two together. So I was producing these cricket protein bars in my kitchen at home, much to my parents' disgust. And it was literally ground up crickets. So not just like whole crickets. You know, I didn't see their eyes, I didn't see the wings or anything. So it came from Thailand as a powder. And then I put this powder into the mix of oats and honey and all sorts of stuff I put in there. And I got quite far in the process. I found manufacturers, I found packagers. But eventually I realized, you know what, a few things. For me, it doesn't quite feel right, doesn't quite sit right, actually, you know, grinding up insects. And I kind of went down the whole sort of vegan or vegetarian route, or kind of explored that. So it didn't feel right on that sort of part. And then the other part was I realized I didn't actually like cooking. So putting the two and two together probably wasn't the best business idea. But yeah, that was cricket protein bars, and there was lots of failures and learnings in there.
Okay, I want to know, did they taste good? Like, were they good?
Some batches did, other batches did not. Yeah, I think the big thing in terms of the actual taste was getting the right consistency and the right amount of cricket powder in there, because if you put too much in there, it tasted really bitter. The cricket powder itself, it's the only way I can describe it, just tastes really bitter. If you put a bit on your finger and then just licked it, it's just, yeah, it's not that pleasant. So you didn't want to put too much in, but at the same time, in order to get those nutritional benefits, and I was trying to promote the fact it had over 10 grams of protein per bar, which was kind of what the competition was doing, I realized I did actually need to put quite a fair bit in. So there was, taste-wise wasn't always great. And obviously the cost went up as well, because I don't know if you know, but crickets are really expensive compared to other sources of protein. So
really?
Yeah. So in terms of the actual cost, it came, the stuff I got from Thailand came in like kilogram bags. I believe it was, might have been 5 kilogram bags. No, I think it was kilogram bags. And each kilogram costs around £60, or in Canadian dollars, what's that like, 100 Canadian dollars, something like that. It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really expensive. Okay. And so were you, what was the genesis of this? Like, were you sitting there reading up on crickets and you're like, yeah, they're high in protein, I should make a cricket protein bar?
I wish it was that, you know, I wish my thought process was that clear. It wasn't. I think the genesis of the idea came from, so something me and my housemates used to do at university was, in the mornings before lectures, we, it sounds really sad, we literally sat down or sat around in like a circle in our living room and we came up with 10 ideas a day. Now, this was an idea that I stumbled upon an author called James Altucher, amazing author. You may or may not have heard of him, but he talks about this idea of coming up with ideas and becoming what he calls an idea machine. And I was like big into this. I was like, you know what, if we do 10 ideas a day, we'll become idea machines and we'll like be able to solve all sorts of problems in the world. So this came up from just one of these brainstorming sessions. And I can't remember, it might have been James, one of my housemates, who suggested it. He just suggested like gourmet insects. And I was like, okay, explain that a bit more. And then he talked about putting crickets into protein bars. He was quite a big gym goer himself at the time. So I was like, you know what, there might be something in that. But I just parked it to one side for at least a couple of years. And it was only when I gave up my job and literally had no idea what I was going to do, I was like, you know what, always fancied starting a business. Don't know what I'm doing, no idea how to do it. I documented every single step, and after a year of recording and documenting and going through the process, it was like, you know what, I just have to call it quits because this just ain't for me, sadly.
So you really dove headfirst into this idea. Throughout that process, what lessons did you learn, maybe from doing it, but also then from giving it up? What did you learn?
A few things. So I think the first, probably the most important lesson I learned is, if you're going to start a business, you've got to really believe in the product, because when it comes to investing money into that product, i.e. when I had to decide if I wanted to spend, I believe it was like £30,000 on packaging, like a minimum order quantity at a manufacturer, I was like, do I really want to do that? That's like my life savings plus some more. And I was like, you know what? No, I don't. I just don't believe in the product enough. I don't believe in the taste of it. And obviously with refinements, I probably could get to a stage where I was happy with it. But then to actually break through into this market, even though there aren't that many competitors at the moment, there's still a lot of big boys, particularly in food nutrition, who are looking into this. And actually, ironically, the company I'm now working for is actually in food nutrition, purely by chance. And I'm seeing the amount of money they're spending on product development, marketing, new business, et cetera, et cetera. And the costs are just insane. So yeah, you've got to really believe in your products. That was probably the most important lesson. But there are plenty more lessons as well.
When I first read that, I thought, oh, like protein bars for cricketers. I wasn't thinking like made of crickets. I thought it was like for cricket players. Because I was like, he's British, right? That's like something a British guy would make, right? Like, that makes sense. That's phenomenal. That is amazing.
You're not the first person to have thought that. Yeah, one of my close friends, when I told him the idea initially, he was like, you know what, Scott, I'm not sure there's a huge market for that. Like, I don't know if cricket players have protein bars during the lunch breaks. So I was like, no, it's not that. Like, it's crickets as an insect.
We finish each episode with that one bulb, that one idea, that one thing, try number 1000, that is working for you. So feel free to brag a little bit. What's working for you now?
Well, thanks, Alex, for giving me this space, and I've really enjoyed sharing my failures with you. The thing that's kind of working for me at the moment is actually my podcast. So I started this in March 2020, and the launch week went phenomenally well. So I did, there's a long story to it, but to give the brief version, I did probably 6 or 7 months of work prior to launching the podcast. And once it launched in the launch week, it got to the top 10 of the UK charts for entrepreneurship and Apple podcast charts in 6 days, which just blew my mind. Didn't expect it to do as well as it did. And the amount of positive feedback I got was amazing. And the guests that I've been able to bring onto the podcasts since then have just been really inspiring, and actually so many lessons I've learned personally, but I know a lot of my audience have as well. So yeah, Entrepreneurs Can Party is essentially showing people, or maybe inspiring people, to see that actually they can have fun in their businesses and their creative projects. So I think typically, this is the reason I started it, typically we see that businesses are done in boardrooms and very kind of straight-laced, do your tie-up, you know, don't have fun. I think that perception is changing slightly, but at least kind of conservatively, that's what we associate business with. And I want to show that actually this isn't the case for a lot of really successful entrepreneurs. Like, they're traveling around the world with their best mates in some cases. I've had a DJ, TikTok DJ artist, who's actually gets to travel around America doing what she loves to do, which is DJ, and actually has some amazing parties. And I think she's got close to 1 million followers on TikTok or something crazy. I've had people who are digital nomads. So they're traveling around the world, doing their own freelance gigs and setting up Amazon FBA stores and doing Udemy courses, et cetera, et cetera. Whole bunch of really cool people. So yeah, long story short, Entrepreneurs Can Party is the thing that's working for me at the moment. And I'd love for it to continue working for me in the future.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing both your failures and now your successes with us today.
Appreciate it, Alex. And love this format of the show. So looking forward to hearing more episodes in the future.
And thank you for listening. Special thank you to Scott Stockdale for joining me and being willing to talk about his failures. Be sure to check out his podcast, Entrepreneurs Can Party, and his new Udemy course on how to outsource to a virtual assistant. I've left links for everything Scott Stockdale in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is a co-production of Williams Redlich and Mecco Radio. And we are, of course, a proud member of the Creative Grapevine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The music is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.